Chops TV.
You will be chopped.
Know what that means? Licking my chops.
Today I will show you how to do a karate chop.
Simply saying, no, he doesn't have the chops to do what it takes.
New thing. I'm busting chops.
Welcome to Chops TV, featuring Jennifer Lopez. Now here's Chops.
The sun is shining. Summer is coming to an end. The tank is clean. The tank is clean.
What are you screaming for?
I was just making a joke about Finding Nemo. Don't you like Finding Nemo?
Usually,
if I quote Finding Nemo, you're very happy. But today, now I'm in trouble because I yelled.
We're both not the best versions of ourselves at the moment.
Things just suck.
Fucking amen, dude.
No, I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad, but I don't want to have to make sure that the Bishop and Friends podcast gets on the website. It's supposed to do that automatically. Now You're telling me I have to do work at my job?
What the fuck is AI for if it's not going to do my work for me?
Do all of it for me. You need AI to drive you home because there's too much traffic, or at least everybody else home.
If you're listening to this and you live in Columbus, can you tell me what kind of crack everyone's been smoking that it is horrible driving this week in the tail end of last week? Awful. Accidents everywhere. This usually happens at the beginning of summer because, you know, when it gets hot, the crazies come out and people just get erratic. But it's happening again. Yeah. And I thought the weather broke and it's not breaking. Ugh.
But it's also been like our best stretch of non-rain. It rained Wednesday and then early Thursday. But other than that, it's been pretty clear. As far as this entire summer has gone, it's been the most clear. And usually that makes for better conditions for driving. But I guess not for you.
No, it's a mess. And, you know, all the students came back. So I know you guys talk about this a little bit at the station, like when people park like dicks. Like, I know it's a big thing with, like, Beam and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like, over the lines and stuff like that. They're also big on the carts being returned to the correct place at the grocery store.
Yes, so if anyone is familiar with Ohio State campus, there is a parking lot in between the two towers. Not
Lincoln and Morrill.
Yes. Not, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. No,
in between Lincoln and Morrill Towers, there's a parking lot. And getting a spot in that parking lot in the morning is like hitting the lottery, right? So if you're lucky enough to get a spot, it's golden, right? So,
I mean, isn't getting a spot just as simple as getting there early?
No. Like today, it wouldn't matter what time I got in there. It would have been full by 7:20. I'm not leaving at my house.
Well, so it would have mattered, but
I guess so.
A time that you deem unrealistic.
Unrealistic. Anyway, but also on top of it, there's construction on Cannon, right? So there's construction. The kids just got back. There are more people on campus. It's a nightmare trying to get a spot, right? So if you get a spot on a regular weekday in the Mid Tower lot, if you start at 8 a.m., it's pretty fucking hard to do.
While we're on this real quick, because you're really familiar with that construction right down there, because you work in Morrill Tower? Lincoln Tower. You work in Lincoln Tower. I don't even know which one is which either, but I know they're Lincoln and Morrill. Either way, that's right by Ohio Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Are people aware who are going to the game in a couple of weeks? Because we're at Indiana this first week. How aware are people of the construction, and what is the access like down there? I think it's going to be a mess.
It is going to be a mess, especially like this game and then the next game probably. They have to be sending out, like, when you buy your ticket, you get like a wear gray, wear scarlet.
Yeah, we got
blah.
The thing of like how to prepare for your concert when we went to the Def Leppard Motley Crue concert in Ohio Stadium. So they do send that stuff out.
But who reads
those things?
People are still going to be fucked when they get into campus too, especially because that parking lot, the West Stadium parking lot, It's for the rich people. So they need to get there somehow. But
they don't like inconveniences.
Sure don't. That's like notoriously a thing rich people don't like and will pay to avoid.
And that's what they think they're paying. But actually, they're being paid to go right into the belly of the beast of all of this construction right now in that lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? On second thought, I don't care. The rich people have a tougher time going to their football game. Fine.
Wait, so back to me, though.
Okay.
So I got to the lot this morning a little bit later than I would have liked to usually because Kitty was not cooperating.
Kitty, she did finally go to the bathroom this afternoon.
Oh, good. So
you know. And for our listeners to know as well.
Yeah, I did have to ask if she pooped her pants while I left. Anyway.
She does not wear pants.
So there were cars, and both of them were parked like almost diagonal in a spot. There was one spot left in the Midtower lot. I was like, yeah, sick. So I went to go pull into it, and then I knew why. It's because those people were parked like fucking dicks.
So it was two people taking up like 1.5 spots
each? Yes, yes.
Were they nicer cars? Was it one of those situations where they didn't want people parked by them? Or no. Was it just bad parking?
One was a CRV. The other one was like, I don't know.
If one like had been parked correctly, do you think you still could have made the spot work?
Yeah, if the one on the right definitely was parked, because there is like a patch of like grass or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if they had parked just like a couple of centimeters over, I definitely would have been able to squeeze my way in there.
So it was a group effort to ruin your morning.
Yeah, but you would have only been able, if you were like a Fiat or something, to get in there. And even that is...
I drive a little Kia Soul. Do you think I could have gotten my little box in there?
Maybe. You would have had to back in, though.
I don't have a sunroof, too, and I can't just pop
climb
out.
Climb out, yeah. It's, oh, my God. It's straight to jail. Automatic fine.
Yeah, I would agree. Luckily, I get to work pretty early, and the only cars that are there are Bobby and Beam.
Yeah.
So
then I got to work, and this is the first week that we're down a team member who, like, had all this historical knowledge. You know, like, those people who've been around for a really long time that just, like, know everything, and then they leave, and then the whole ship, like, bursts into flame. Like, this is the impending doom that's going to happen.
Because you don't even always know everything that it is that they do. And right. They don't even always they know don't. Everything it is that they
and
do,
because
a lot of it's second nature.
Yep, and before you leave, you're like, hey, can you write down everything that you do? And then they, like, try their hardest, but they do so much, and they know so much that, you know. So, yeah, that's why my day sucks, and that's why Mark's day sucks. Why does your day suck?
Yeah, let us know at @_ChopsTV. Why does your day suck? Because the one thing that is true that I believe wholeheartedly is that every person's day sucks on days they have to go to work.
Like into the office?
I don't think there's any single day where
you have to work.
Any day you have to work sucks.
Fair.
That's my take on it.
Sure.
But you sometimes get a break from it. And when you get a break from it, you take a vacation. And sometimes on vacation, you make friends. And sometimes on vacation, you make friends, and then they make a movie about it. And sometimes on vacation, you make friends, and then they make a movie about it. And then it does just well enough on Hulu that they decide to make a second one. And sometimes you just shouldn't do that.
Deadass, I was like, where is he going with this for a couple of minutes?
I got there.
Yeah, you got
there. That was a better transition than normal. It was just a very long one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Transition length should not be judged for the quality of the transition.
No, transition quality should not be judged for the length by the length of the transition. But it absolutely should. I think that's part of what makes a good transition.
So John Cena and Lil Rel Howery. I find his name to be a tongue twister. Like, I know what the letters are.
Do you think it's purposeful? Like, he wanted to make it a tongue twister, so it'd be hard to say.
Would it be easier if it was just Rel Howery? I think that would be easier. It's the Lil Rel Howery.
Yeah.
And you kind of do you want to say Howley then too? Yeah. Howery. It's tough for me, but I
just
got
say this. Sucks. We can't even pronounce names.
That was me when you got home today. But now we're doing a podcast, so it's much better. So Vacation Friends 2. We watched the first one, and it was good enough that when I saw a second one coming out, I was like, well, I kind of enjoyed it. John Cena is always one of those guys who's like, he shouldn't be that good of a comedic actor, but when he shows up in things, usually it's good for a laugh or two.
Yeah, usually when he's like a minor side character or a B-plot guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he just plays dumb muscle guy whenever he has one of those roles, and he does a good job at it because he's a big muscly guy, and then he just has to play dumb. So he's already got half the role down just based on who he is.
Or like big muscle guy have feelings.
Oh, right, that's another one. Yeah, like he's sensitive or something like that. And that happens with this character both times. But in the first movie, it works because they don't exactly know who these people are, and they're almost trying to avoid them, and then they get into all these hijinks with them.
Yeah, so what's the premise of the first one?
The first one, they go on vacation, Laura Howery and his wife, and they are at a resort, and they meet up with these people in some sort of resort activity or something like that. Or maybe they take them off resort, and they think, ooh, this is our chance to do something really cool. And they go off with them, and they drink a bunch, they do a bunch of drugs, they have this really crazy night, and they wake up in the suite of these people, and they learn that they're, like, rich. So they see a benefit to being friends with them, and they are having fun with them, but they also feel like these people are just too crazy for us. Then they go back. Then the vacation ends, and I think they're getting married, or they're at, I think it's their wedding, but they're at some sort of big like family reunion, some sort of function where everybody's together. And then those people, the vacation friends, come.
Show up.
And then it's all fish out of water. Like, oh, we don't want people to think we're actually with these people, or at least not see what they're all like. So there's a bunch of hijinks of trying to hide it and stuff. The second movie does not really have a discernible plot. It technically has a plot, but they go on vacation together because they now are friends after they made up in the first movie. And then the John Cena's wife's estranged dad gets out of prison and then is trying to steal money from his old crime buddies in a plane that crashed, and then they get caught up in that. Then they almost drown in a shipping container. Then their nanny pretends to be a drug lord. Then John Cena gives the crime dudes $5 million and they're all good.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of things that happen, which technically is a plot in a movie in the most technical sense.
It feels like an action comedy, which I'm on the record of not liking, that they kind of said, okay, we already have the bones of this built. Is there anything that we could attach it to that like has, you know, people like somewhat? And then they're like, let's just make it a sequel to Vacation Friends and we'll just write it in that way. It doesn't feel like the same creative team behind it. And I don't care what the writing and directing says of it. I mean, I didn't look it up because I didn't think it was a good movie. I didn't really want to spend any more time on it. But any charm that the first one had with the two couples interacting, and you can kind of relate, oh, I've met a crazy couple before vacationing, and you, sometimes you're like, oh, keep our distance, actually. Doesn't have that at all. There's nothing to it in this. And so you get from a movie that is over the top but relatable into a movie that is just like, what the fuck is this?
And it's not funny.
No, it's not. And I don't remember the first one being overly funny, but maybe the relatability
helped with that. There were a couple of laughs, though. There were a couple of like...
Yeah, and then they kind of rehashed some of those jokes, but it's like, we've already seen this. Like,
yeah, the whole first like 10 minutes of the movie is them like playing like dumb pranks on them, like in TSA and when they get to the resort and all this stuff and whatever.
Steve Buscemi was there as well.
Which was surprising. That good get for that movie, but like, why?
He likes to do silly things. Yeah, he's done all those movies with Adam Sandler before in the past. But
but those are great movies.
Well, and it did not end up being a small role. He's in
two-thirds
of the movie once his character shows up. So
at one point she snorts her mother's ashes.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, you're right. It feels just like a collection of scenes, and it didn't really grab us. We put it on a Sunday afternoon, and I didn't go full TikTok screen, which is when I'm really not into what's on the TV, but I was definitely looking at my Twitter and looking at my phone more than I was looking at the TV. And then at a certain point, once I got my bearings at least of like, okay, this really is the plot that they're trying to steal money from these crime people, I was like, all right, and I paid attention, and I was just like, this is bad. It's not very good.
I will say that if it wasn't for you, I probably would have shut it off. And the old Jennifer would have never, like, even thought about shutting a movie off or, like, leaving a theater if a movie was bad. But, like, and that's not the same as, like, when you're streaming something at home and shutting it off. But, like, it kind of is. Like, I didn't care enough about it halfway through that I was like, I don't want to waste more time on this.
Like, I don't care what happens to these characters. Oh, and there was also the plot of Lil Rel Howery owns a construction business, and they were trying to get the account of the people who own the resort.
Yes,
and then there was also, so there was like a cultural difference then, because it was like a South Korean company that owns the resort, and he was trying to, they tried to recycle the plot from the other movie of Lil Rel Howery is trying to hide the fact that he's friends with these wild and crazy people from a more buttoned up version of people. But it turns out that the people he thinks are more buttoned up actually do enjoy the fun of this crazy and wild couple that they're friends with, to the point where at one point John Cena does a drinking contest with one of the South Korean businessmen where they literally drink a mug that's, I don't know, 20 ounces, 25 ounces, whatever it is, a big like beer mug full of whiskey, and he wins, and the South Korean gentleman like dies and they have to call the paramedics and like revive him. And I'm like, I don't know if this is funny, but then they do the thing that movies always mess up in this scene. He doesn't act drunk.
No.
He just drank two bottles of whiskey essentially, and he doesn't act drunk in the next scene.
He does like end up passing out like in the hotel room, but you're right. He should have been comatose.
That's a lot of whiskey to drink. Yeah.
So, ultimately.
Don't watch Vacation Friends 2.
Don't do it.
It's not. Yeah. It's not worth your time. If you like it, just go watch the first one again, I guess.
Yeah.
Or probably just don't waste your time with the movies at all. It's probably our most negative review of any movie we've ever done on Chops TV.
Yeah, which is weird because I think it's because it was so low stakes and I like didn't really care about it at all. Like, it was disappointing that it wasn't better because I had no stakes in it, right? So, like, the bare minimum would have been fine for, like, a Sunday afternoon. And, like, it couldn't even get to the bare minimum of my expectations for something I didn't even realize was coming out. So
I don't know how bad a movie would have to be for me to walk out of a theater. I've definitely stopped movies before, but I'm even a little bit more risk-takey when it comes to movies than you are because I like zombie movies and there's a lot of zombie movies out there, but you don't always know if one's going to be just like a smaller indie one or if it's going to be really, really bad and just the cheapest thing ever. And so spooky season's coming up in just about a month in October.
Oh, yeah.
And I love to watch scary movies out throughout the entire month. And I will take risks during that, but I will turn off. But I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie because once I've paid, I feel like I got to get my money's worth, which is kind of the sunk cost fallacy in its true form. But
there's only one movie I've ever walked out of. It was Year One, that Jack Black.
Yeah, Michael Cera.
Yeah, I had to walk out of that for my mental sanity.
It's funny. I have a story. I think my brother told me this. He saw that movie in theaters, and it was rated PG-13. But I don't know if it's because Jack Black was in it or if it kind of looked a little bit more playful, I think, in its advertising than other movies might. But it was still kind of raunchy. And when my brother was in the theater, he was watching it, and there's a scene where the girl is, like, saying some, like, innuendo to him, and she, like, strokes his, like, spear that one of the cavemen is holding. Mm-hmm. And apparently that was too much for these parents, and they're like, oh, my God. And they grabbed their kids and left the movie. So you are a prude, just like those parents, and that's why you left Year One. Don't hide it. It's okay. You were uncomfortable with the stroking of a spear.
Yeah, it got me too horny. I got super horny and I had
to go
leave.
Take care of that.
Yeah, I had to.
Year One, notorious for making people super horny. Vacation Friends did not make me horny.
No, not even a little. Not even when they were at the bottom of the ocean. Never was I horny.
No, and the real shame of it is it was about 90 minutes long, which is not long for a movie, but instead we could have watched two episodes of Friday Night Lights and been further along there.
We should have just done that. Every time I'm like, should we do this or watch Friday Night Lights? It's always Friday Night Lights.
I will say Winning Time has been worth it over Friday Night Lights, but that's only one episode a week.
Yeah.
We'll get to Winning Time once it's over. We'll have an episode where we talk about that. But as of right now, I'm enjoying season two.
It's okay.
Speaking of season twos, though, why we have to update you on where we're at in Friday Night Lights is I told Jen that she just had to get through season two of Friday Night Lights because it's not that it's like wholly bad, but it just has a bunch of loose ends because of the writer's strike and they had to give up on the show and they ran out of material to film. And they decided once the writers were back, rightfully so. So here's what I'm imagining happened. The writers came back, saw season two, and said, no, guys, this was not the direction the show was supposed to go. But to be fair, the writers actually were around when the murder was written, but they probably had a little bit better idea of where they were taking it rather than just cop dad burns car and it's over.
Yeah.
That's it. It was just, everything's taken care of. Go back to playing football. So that's that's the big glaring problem of season two, but it is not the only problem.
Enlighten me, Mark.
My biggest thing about the problems with season two of Friday Night Lights, as you get into season three, is just how much they either retcon or basically just don't even acknowledge happened. Starting with Tammy coaches a volleyball team. Tyra joins that volleyball team. start of season three, Tammy is the principal of the high school. There's no mention of the volleyball team.
I have a huge problem with that, even like that thread. What makes her qualified to be a principal? She didn't work for 16 years. She was a guidance counselor for like 2 years, and now she's the fucking principal?
It seems like a little too much power for one married couple to have in a town that seems to take the school very, like,
yeah.
Everybody in that town cares so much about the high school. Obviously, the football team is how they do it, but like they're very involved, more so than it seems like in most communities that people are in the high school. And now that couple is the principal, the head football coach, which is arguably the most important job in the town, and he's the athletic director. Or is he? I don't know. They don't mention it. Really, about halfway through season two, they stopped mentioning it, but it's definitely not mentioned in season three now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, between the two of them, they probably have like more pull than the mayor of the town. And like she's learning how to, Tammy now is like learning how to play the game kind of with like the boosters and her position as the principal of the school. She has to look out for the welfare of like the actual students and academic side of the school. And they're like, fuck you, get a jumbotron.
And so... But then she uses that to at least like get a fundraiser scheduled at Buddy Garrity's car dealership so she can get that. And it's like, okay, that's how you play the game. You can't just steal the booster funds, but you can ask for a quid pro quo. Now, technically, you shouldn't do that. It's not not actually recommended, but she's playing the politic game little bit there.
In season two, she had that baby, and then she was just like kind of miserable the entire time until like the last three episodes. She was like, oh, I'm going to go back to work and be a coach.
While we're there with, Tammy and Coach, her sister, I don't know if she ever shows up ever again. Her character was actually kind of fun. Maybe a slight bright spot of season two, just the dynamics she brings into it. But Coach Taylor kind of yelled at her and told her to leave. She was there helping them raise the baby. She's literally folding laundry
in the scene where he's like,
can you leave?
Yeah.
Are you going to fold that laundry, Coach?
When are you going to get your laugh together? Fucking what?
She filmed over the tape he was trying to watch of a game with The Office, which, you know what? I think net positive. It's all just going to come down to the last play anyway, Coach. So what's the point of watching film?
Correct.
Along that line, before we get to the other storylines that they just got rid of while we're talking about Coach and Tammy, season three is just so much better, and... they really, you almost can just cut out season two because they get rid of so many of the storylines they do. And then it also makes the year of school that these kids are in make a hell of a lot more sense. You're telling me Jason Street was golden boy, senior, perfect quarterback kid, and he was dating a sophomore cheerleader and best friends with a sophomore that was also on the football team. And if he was a sophomore, presumably on JV the year before. It doesn't make any sense that Tim Riggins and Lila Garrity were sophomores in season one, but here they are, seniors in season three, even though in season two, there's not much evidence that Lila is in school. I thought she had graduated.
Yeah.
She just goes down. I mean, you understand why Tim is able to go down to Mexico with Jason Street, because Tim doesn't listen to anybody and does whatever he wants. But Lila just goes down to Mexico at one point and is like running a radio show.
Yeah, she's like part-time hosting a radio show. She's like... with the church the whole time. She like goes to the prison in broad daylight, which you presumably is a weekday.
Yeah. I don't know what, it's unclear what grade they are supposed to be in until season three. Then they start to explicitly talk about they are seniors and this.
Well, even Smash was supposed to be a senior that second year.
Well, he was, and then he lost his scholarship.
Yeah, but then he was still around. But how much time has passed? That's also another big problem. There is no like clear delineation of time in between the seasons.
Well, because also season two ends so abruptly because of the writer's strike that they have to retcon what happens at the end of the football season in season three.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be like, they actually lost in the playoffs and Smash got hurt, and that's why Smash is still here. Here's season three.
Yeah, it's... not great.
So, yeah, a few other things that throughout season two that just disappear. Santiago, as you mentioned, Lila goes and visits people in the, like, it's like juvenile detention. And Buddy takes in Santiago to make Lila happy with him, but he just disappears. There's a whole storyline with him. He joins the football team. Buddy's not sure if he should let Santiago and his friends hang out in his apartment. And he goes back and gets his watch and then...
that's the last time we ever see him.
I think it is the last time we ever see him. So he's gone. Lila was born again and then hosted that Christian radio show in which Tim also started hosting a radio show. And the guy's like, sports radio. Who would have thought? People in this town love it. Yeah, it narrates the show, buddy. What is it? Slingin' Sammy?
So bad. Really, really bad. Yeah, the born again stuff is just like extremely obnoxious. Like, I'm not, what is the phrase? Yucking your yum or icking your yep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know that saying.
Yicking your yep?
Icking your, yucking your yum or.
Yanking your tail?
No, it's like, you know, I'm not trying to judge what you like just because I don't like it.
Okay.
But that shit is obnoxious.
And she almost gets Tim roped into it, too. I bet if the season had gone on, we would have gotten a Tim Riggins baptism.
Probably.
But we didn't get that. And then it's just thrown away. So they did this whole big character thing with Lila about how she's so into her church and her born-againness and more power to her. But then it's just gone.
And
now she's dating Tim Riggins.
And he's such a simp, too, that he, like, hangs around the radio show. Like, he starts doing it just, like, get under her skin and, like, make sure, like, he's, like, present and top of mind for her. But then we get back and season three starts and he's been womanizing, whoring it up with, like, all girls, like, implying that he's had threesomes in between season two and three.
No, that was between season one and two. At the beginning of season three, he's with Lila.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but yeah, she mentioned, she's like, I just got baptized, and he's like, I had a three-way with the blah, blah, blah sisters.
Yeah, you're right. It's starting to blur together a little bit. That's going to be a problem.
Because what's the truth? People around Tim Riggins change, but Tim Riggins stays Tim Riggins.
Mm-hmm.
Told you I'm going to get that tattooed on my body.
Yeah, he's a constant. He is a fixed variable.
Yes. One other thing that is just like, okay. And it's made worse because it's the executive producer of the show and he just wanted to have a character. He plays Tammy's boyfriend and then he gets into a fist fight in an Italian restaurant with Coach Taylor. And that's how the season ends. That's it.
Yeah, it does how it ends.
They don't even mention it when they come back.
No.
So, really also, stupid stuff.
Coach Taylor has a kind of a jealous streak.
Yeah.
They always come back together, but he's jealous of Tammy.
He didn't even like it when, what was the guy, Glenn, who like is clearly not a threat. Tammy barely even views him as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why is Glenn in my house? And it's like, because you're at TMU, coach.
Yeah. Why is Glenn in this office? Because he was covering for me while I was gone. But it's not just that. He like is jealous of like all her relationships. Like if Tammy isn't like present in his opinion, if she's not like present for him when he needs her, she's like a fucking deadbeat piece of shit mom and like needs to spend more time at the house. They always come together and reconcile, but he is like jealous or envious of like the time that she doesn't spend that doesn't involve him.
Yeah, and once it comes to like pass and they actually talk about it, he does see the error of his ways, but he doesn't always seem to learn it because the next time it happens, like, I think it was at the end of season two, but maybe... No, it was at the beginning of season three because this specific line. He says, I miss the coach's wife. And she goes, well, I'm looking forward to meeting the principal's husband.
Yeah.
And he goes, touche. So he listens to her, but he does a bad job of like... Because like even when she wanted to get a job, he's like, well, you don't need to go get a job. And it's like, why not? You have a 16-year-old daughter. Like, what? She doesn't need to be at home all day and... It's not a very big house. It's not like she has to clean it all the time. And that's a big thing that they've been arguing about for all three seasons, getting a new house.
Fucking Julie did Matt Saracen so dirty in season two. I bet those writers were so pissed when they came back and they had to clean up the Julie-Matt Saracen relationship, considering Matt Saracen had another girlfriend and also had another Guatemalan nursemaid living at his house.
Yeah, he was hooking up with. And both of those girls, Julie and Tyra, both in season two failed to like recognize that you broke up with the guy. So Matt goes out and gets a new girlfriend because Julie breaks up with him to be with the Swede, who is just a straight up loser.
And not Swedish.
Yeah, just...
Why do they call him that?
He's not even blonde.
No.
He's just some crusty dude who like clearly like... is college age but not in college,
yeah,
working as a lifeguard, has a shitty band that plays at shitty bars, and Julie's like swooning over him, even though he like ditches her after she goes to see his, I wouldn't even say in concert, what, the gig his band has, and yeah. Loser, just loser town, USA. Which, he drives a windowless white van.
Which, to be fair, like, that is pretty realistic. Like, the fair girlies enough. In those towns, like, fall for guys like that. But still.
Then Tyra and Landry kill a guy together. And
Brick killed a guy.
That causes strain in their relationship, but eventually brings them back. But then Tyra says, no, I can't be your girlfriend. It doesn't match up. Look at me, look at you. And he says, well, that sucks. But then he goes and gets another girlfriend. And that girl seems perfect for him. Doesn't do anything wrong. He leaves that girl. And she says, I know what you're doing. You're going to get Tyra. Then he goes and gets Tyra. And it's played off as like a triumphant moment of Landry and Tyra getting together finally. And it's like, actually, both these people kind of suck right now in this scenario.
But to be fair, like the breaking up was more of like the dad trying to convince Tyra that like obviously she's not a very good influence on him and like they shouldn't be together. And he knows something's weird from the jump. So he's like, the less time you spend together, the better, all that stuff. So that.
But the little dreadlocked blonde girl didn't deserve that.
No,
to be caught in the middle of all
no,
of
no,
it.
No, of course not. But she doesn't realize that they are like, you know, murder bonded, which is a different kind of bond, you know?
But then it's all for naught anyways, because Tyra breaks up with him at the beginning of season three to date deadbeat cowboy.
It's like so juvenile, too, the way that it happens. It's like, you guys committed a murder and then subsequently covered it up. You cannot act like you are in high school, even though you're in high school. Like, we are now matured beyond that point of your life. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of has, she's trying to get it together and go to college and blah, 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 trying to be a deadbeat. But, like, he hasn't. Landry is just, like, obsessed with Tyra still. Like, that's all he cares about. Wants to play in the band. Is, like,
I think if you want to watch the Friday Night Lights show that you, especially if it's like a rewatch, if you've already seen all the episodes and don't feel that need to like complete it 100%, I think you could get away with just saying things at TMU didn't work out, coach is back, and just go from the end of season one to season three.
For sure.
That's almost how they write it, that you don't even really need season two at all. I guess Jason also has a kid on the way. You'd have to know that. That happens.
Jason has a kid on the way. And again, Tim goes with him to New York like he doesn't have fucking class and football.
Well, he always skips Wednesdays. All right. Now J.D. McCoy's there. So you'll get to see what happens in all that. And we'll see how far we can get in Friday Night Lights for next week's podcast.
And I thought I recognized him, too. I go, Peter Pan. I whispered it almost.
And he is Peter Pan. We looked it up.
And he is. The Peter Pan, if you're not familiar with the original live action Peter Pan.
From like 2008 or something like that, or maybe 2005, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like a fever dream and strangely sexual too, because it like ignited a whole like Peter Pan, Jeremy Sumpter, like Tumblr supremacy.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Were you involved with that?
No, but my best friend was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Jeremy was like, Jeremy as if I know him very well. There's something about his face, and it's still present in Friday Night Lights.
He's like a little cherub.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what is in Peter Pan, too. Like a little handsome baby cherub, but he's a boy.
And he can fly, and cherubs can fly.
Yes, but he's a boy. So he's not supposed to be sexualized, but they like put like gold glitter all over him and, you know, he's Mickey kinda Mouse like make a jinger in their giny holes.
So there you go. Is that a recommendation to go watch Peter Pan?
It's a recommendation to watch the episode of South Park with the Jonas Brothers.
Okay, fair enough.
Bay.
I'll let you take this one since this is your show, but we have finished this up, something we talked about on a previous episode, and just like that, I guess it's over. What was the end of that season?
Yeah, and just like that, season two ended. So I guess I don't even remember what we stopped talking about, but the most important thing that happened in this finale, and probably the most important thing to happen all season, was that Samantha showed up. And by
did she?
And by showed up, I mean she had a like 40-second phone call.
I know for a fact Carrie. That Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall were not actually talking in that scene.
Of course,
that they filmed
not.
Those separately, put them together, and I do. I reject the notion that Kim Cattrall is even in season two of And Just Like That. That does not count.
Well, just because you think it doesn't count, it does count, and it was the best thing to happen all season.
It's the only thing that happened all. Well, Aiden, I guess.
Aiden, yeah, and Charlotte. So I also
what Charlotte, Charlotte got a job.
No, Charlotte carried season two on her fucking back, okay?
She met Sam Smith.
Yeah, she met Sam Smith. She got her job back. She went to get condoms for her kid in a snowstorm.
What a wild storyline.
Classic comedy. But she really carried that shit. I don't care what anyone says. I'll fight. I'll die on that hill. That Charlotte was the MVP of season two. So yeah, they weren't talking to each other, but she called to say goodbye to the apartment. The whole thing was kind of awkward too. She's like talking to the apartment, which they're so Carrie's moving out of the apartment, moving into the nice new one, blah blah blah. Supposedly with Aiden, but psych, Aiden's kid like gets in a car accident. There's something off with the kid, but like he needs to be there. He feels for.
There seems to be some hinting that the kid is on like the autism spectrum, but they never say it like directly. Yeah. But like at one point, Carrie has that awkward meeting with the Aiden's ex-wife, and she calls him like her little puzzle piece, and the puzzle piece is like the sign of like the yeah. autism awareness and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, so that's what. He's like really obsessed with his dad's flights and stuff, so they're hinting at it. But then it also seemed like unnecessary for that to be a part of it, especially if you're not going to like go into it and actually say it, because he does like a just like a kind of normal, ridiculous teenage acting out thing where he like gets high on mushrooms and crashes his dad's truck.
Yeah.
Like he didn't need to be autistic for that to be a storyline that you write in there. That's just something like a dumb teenager would do in general.
Yeah.
Sloppy writing.
So he decides that he needs to stay in Virginia for 5 years, basically until this kid's done being a teenager, and then he can be with Carrie in New York.
And it's a little unclear if that's like a we're going to do long distance for 5 years or if like.
And he said, no, like, don't come here, basically.
Yeah. So they spent the latter half of this season getting them back together and her like moving on from that apartment that's so iconic to both shows and then moving into this great new place that was supposed to be with him. And now this like promise of 5 years. And it's like, so what? Is she allowed to go on like a Rumspringer of like some sort of 60-year-old bachelorette and like it's just run weird. Around New York? Are we gonna get 5 more seasons of And Just Like That before she gets back with Aiden?
I don't know how.
Could you handle that? 5 more seasons of And Just Like That? That
would look, here's
40 episodes.
Here's my problem with this whole thing is that we've already established that time is of the essence, right? Her first husband died, right? She had doubts that maybe she wasted all this time with her first dead husband, who she was presumably in love with, and maybe she should have been with Aiden. Mm-hmm. So all of this time has passed, and she's just like gonna accept that she has to wait 5 more years to be with who she thinks, I'm guessing, is like the true love of her life. That's fucking crazy.
But remember, Aiden said it would go so fast that you didn't even see him snap. Which is not how 5 years works.
No, 5 years is a long time.
Especially, no offense, at their age.
Yeah.
That's they don't what have I too mean. Much time left.
That's what I mean.
I mean, they have a good amount of time.
She could get on a Peloton any day and die of a heart attack.
You never know.
You never do know.
You
so
think it's just an innocent bike ride, and then, boom, you have a heart attack in the shower.
Right. So what are they going to do? Skip 5 years? And it's going to be a while because of the writer's strike. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to go into production on a season 3 of the show until all that shit is over. So, like, will it actually be 5 years until we get in season 3 of And Just Like That?
And then we'll have to follow all the other characters that we don't really care about throughout
all their
things.
I know. I was going to say stuff about everything else that happened, but realistically, who gives a shit? I just don't care. I saw a tweet That was hilarious and pretty much sums up, I think, everyone's feelings about the show. And it said, and just like that, renewed, this may be the worst show I've ever seen, and I need at least 10 more seasons.
Well, if we got 10 more seasons, and we get 5 to get to Aiden and Carrie back together, and then we could get 5 of Aiden and Carrie. You know what they should do? They should really lean into the kind of sitcom roots of it and go straight up laugh track, soundstage, multicam for a season. Just start almost experimenting
like,
with the
like
show.
Like WandaVision, yeah. And just like that.
And see what you can do. You don't like that idea?
Not
like
really.
It. I think I had that idea for something else, too. I think I like that idea of changing the format of what you're airing and going into that and seeing what you can do with the characters in that format.
So Steve buys a bar on Coney Island Boardwalk, and Carrie, who has never been to Coney Island before, takes the train to Coney Island. What the fuck?
She had never been to Coney Island too? No. Like, how is that possible?
No. So then Miranda also doesn't know about Coney Island, so she goes to Coney Island, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, because she doesn't want to throw away exes, but she goes, oh, we have to talk about that. She goes to Che's comedy show, first time they are going back out on stage and trying to perform that after the failed sitcom and just kind of going back into life of being a veterinary tech, I guess. And they go up on stage and they start telling stories about their time with their most recent relationship, which is, I don't know, what like 50% of comics do. All comics pull from parts of their life. Most, or at least, I would say at least half, definitely talk about relationships for in sure. their life. And then there's comedy in like the despair of how something ended and everything. And like Miranda just does not get it and is like so offended.
Yeah, she was like, you're being mean. It meant something to me.
And she's like, it meant something to me. That's why I'm expressing myself through my comedy.
Che, just get rid of the character. It's bad. It's really bad. But good for Miranda. She's like a lesbian in the UN on the BBC at the end of this. So hopefully she'll like do something now instead of just like break up with people.
Yeah, and they totally kind of got like she just straight up moved up that corporate ladder right away. Like they got rid of the whole plot of like the other girl interns like being jealous of her or being mad at her and just said those characters don't matter. And then Miranda's like, just like actually doing the job.
Because like 2 to 3 months passes in between each episode.
And so either you miss a lot or you have to go under the assumption that like these people don't really do much in between the times that we're filming.
Mm-hmm. But also, Steve's bar, back to this bar, Steve's new bar is like crab and hot dogs or something. It's like a weird fusion of two things. I'm like, crab, okay. Hot dogs, okay. But like the same spot?
It's at Coney Island. There are no rules.
I don't know about that. I feel like there are some rules.
I'm going to go Coney Island, no rules.
Coney Island bathroom, no rules.
But the one before it and the other part of the boardwalk is maybe the nicest bathroom in the whole city because the people in charge of it like it. It was on How To with John Wilson. And then we were like,
yeah,
we went to that bathroom.
I pissed in that bathroom.
So it's really cool to see a bathroom that you've used on TV. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But I was very excited to be like, hey, we were there.
There's this girl on TikTok who her whole thing is that she takes dumps in fancy bathrooms.
I've seen that before.
And yeah. I'm like, yeah.
She's like, come take a shit with me in Tiffany's.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. I think it's like the same thing.
And yeah, she rates like, them.
Oh, this is the bathroom that girl took a shit in.
There is, that's even though, awesome. Even though like that's a great example of like everything can be filmed nowadays and you can experience anything. And of course you'll see things that you recognize. And like I'm on the radio, like so that's like something that's also a medium that like people can take in that's like broadcasted to people. But there is still something special about seeing something on TV that you've been to.
Yeah.
I've been there. The Brady Bunch went to Kings Island. I've been there. That kind of stuff. It just still hits you.
Yeah.
Kevin McAllister in the Big Tree. I proposed to my wife there. Thanks a lot, Kev.
What else is a place that I've been like, ooh, I've been there.
Things of like Washington, D.C. based places. You know, you've been to the monuments.
But I mean, like, I think it's better when you...
Like a more specific one?
No, here's a good example of this. So things you don't expect to see that you've been there, like the La Vue in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, that was in that episode of Girls, and it's supposed to be New Jersey. Yeah. And you're like, I've been there.
And that club is closed, but the building still looks like that. So, yeah.
Super sketchy, like, Russian immigrant-run establishment that could be a club, could be a bar, could be just a front. No one knows. I've never been inside the place before. Mm-hmm. It's been there for at least 16 years.
Yeah, and I guess we run into the... Because, like, the Christmas tree one, of course I love it, but, like... A lot of people have been to the big Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. Yeah. You're supposed to go there. Same with like Tim Riggins and Jason Street were just in Times Square. But like you don't get it as much for those kind of places because those places are always filmed and they're tourist attractions. But because you are like a bit more of a local and we're visiting friends and family and stuff, we end up in places that are not going to be normal stops for people on their trip to New York. And so when we do see them in things based in New York, there is almost like a bit of realism that like it grounds it for me. And I'm like, oh, they really are in New York.
Yeah. Like if they had shown the building that used to be the Comfort Inn behind La Vue, that was a known like a known place for like a prostitution ring, that would have been awesome too.
You want to? Well, you could kind of see its awning.
That's like super realism. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a real place and we've been there.
And real prostitutes were there too. See, I knew that growing up in New York. And I was like 11, but I knew what was happening there. And they put it in the background of a shot and Girls. That's just like a wild thought.
One last thing for And Just Like That. Carrie wins that silent auction and that's why she has this going away dinner. Like, do you think that that Michelin star chef arrived there and it was this, you know, I guess for New York it's not tiny, but either way, for that amount of people to have a dinner party there, it's a tiny apartment, and he has to use the kitchen downstairs in the other girl's apartment. Do you think he showed up and was like, this wasn't exactly the clientele I expected to be serving when I gave my services up to this silent auction for charity?
I would imagine not. But they still say, like, here's another thing. They still imply that apartment's like dumpy. She's like, oh, I found this like painting at a thrift store or whatever. And, oh, remember when we used to eat Chinese food here? But it's like a gorgeous, at least multi-million dollar apartment.
Yeah.
That they renovated because they tore down Aiden, bought the apartment next door, and they fucking.
So does she own it?
Yeah, she owns that apartment.
Because it was unclear whether. Is she just renting it to that girl or is she selling it to that girl?
I think she's selling it to
her. Because the one friend is a realtor and was like, I can't believe you let it go for this price.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But the girl who also, like, at the beginning of this season got all her jewelry stolen at, like, that show that she had.
Yeah.
So where does she have money? She's getting kicked out of the apartment that she's leasing from guys for subletting.
She stole her stolen jewelry somehow? I don't know.
I want to see. How does the girl get enough money to pay for Carrie's apartment?
Like we talked about last time, money's not real in the Sex and the City
world. Not anymore, for sure.
You don't have to worry about it.
So and Carrie's a cat lady, so good for Carrie,
I guess. They made such a big deal about the meal, and they ate the like olive. And that was, did they eat the rest of the meal?
It was giving the menu, I gotta say.
Yeah.
At one point, I was like, oh, they're gonna turn everyone into little s'mores and light them on fire.
Right, and just like the menu, I was just thinking, like, I'd rather just have a cheeseburger, which is what Anya Taylor-Joy goes for in the menu.
Yeah.
All right, well, and just like that, disappointing, but super excited for season 3. We will continue watching Friday Night Lights and let you know what our thoughts are. And maybe you can catch up and watch along with us as well.
One second.
Okay.
Your boy Davey Finch is back.
Who's Davey Finch?
David Fincher.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that trailer?
I saw that it existed. I didn't watch it with the sound on, but it was on my Twitter feed at one point.
Gotta watch it.
The murderer. The killer. The killer. That's it.
It tickled my brain in a way that I was excited about, considering this whole writer's strike thing's happening and Dune got moved, which is very upsetting. But this is supposed to be coming out in like October.
October 27th and then like November 10th, I think, streaming. For Netflix.
Yeah. So,
which we sometimes have and sometimes don't.
But now that this writer strike is happening, we don't have to force Michael Fassbender to go out there and do the rounds about a movie that you're not supposed to know a ton about, but somehow you end up knowing the whole thing because they've done multiple interviews about it. But this one is actually going to be shrouded in some mystery.
I trust David Fincher pretty much like implicitly just to like
I know,
do everything.
Your boy, Davey Finch.
But the last time Michael Fassbender was in a movie shrouded in mystery, it was The Snowman. And that was like deemed the worst movie of the year. So hopefully we don't get into a situation like that.
I love Michael Fassbender.
I do too.
He is one of those like sleeper hit guys. You know what I mean? He doesn't do a great job of picking projects, I will say. But when he's in his element, when they let him do his thing, gold every time.
Yeah, so that's something we're looking forward to. Maybe someday we'll rewatch The Social Network and talk about that.
X-Men First Class, too. I fucking love that movie.
The real Mystique.
I would say X-Men First Class is almost as good as like one of the better Marvel movies. I love First Class.
The X-Men movies are so hit and miss, but yeah, when they hit, they are really good.
Yeah.
So it, yeah. Huh. Maybe we'll have to go back and watch the X-Men movies too. I don't know. Does Deadpool count as an X-Men movie?
No.
We're off the rails. I'm Chops.
I'm J-Lo. Follow me. Follow me, please.
Follow us all on Twitter. Follow all us, the Twitters.
Please. Like, subscribe. Please.
Punch that notification button or whatever.
I don't even know if you can subscribe to this. Can you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's on podcast platforms.
Oh.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Chops TV is made possible by people who subscribe to podcasts and viewers like you.